Hey, really quick before we get started, please remember to subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts, and feel free, as always, to check me out on my website at rhitch.com. Now, everything said in this episode is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions or retirement planning alone. All statements regarding companies made are strictly beliefs or points of view held by myself and not a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold any securities. Myself or any guests that may appear may maintain positions in any securities discussed. Welcome back to the Financial Breakaway Podcast, your clear path to retirement. I am your host, Ryan Hitchcock, and I'm a financial planner with High Point Capital Group out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And it's my goal of this podcast to empower individuals like you to make confident decisions for a successful retirement. All right, Social Security. Social Security is a critical component of retirement planning for everybody. So it's essential to understand some key aspects of it to make the most of this valuable resource. Social Security, the planning in retirement can be a maze of complexities. There's a ton of rules and ton of different claiming strategies just on the face. It's not simply a matter of, you know, reaching a certain age and automatically receiving your benefits. There you go. No, it's not like that. Factors such as your earning history, retirement age, spousal benefits, delayed retirement credits, taxation rules, they all come into play in determining when and how much you can receive. Now, navigating these complexities requires careful analysis, informed decision making, all of that stuff, as always, and a comprehensive understanding of Social Security. Now, I get that we're not going to solve and cover all of these Social Security aspects today. I know talking about Social Security, it can be tough and glaze the eyes over for anybody, even myself at times. But it's very, very important when talking about retirement planning. So I want to really focus on three must-know topics I see that will help guide you towards, you know, an effective Social Security planning. So with that being said, let's get into it. All right, so the first must-know topic revolves around determining when the optimal claiming age is for Social Security benefits. Now, you may be wondering, you know, when should I start claiming? That's the big question of Social Security. And it's not a one-size-fits-all answer. The age you start directly affects the amount of benefits you'll receive. So it's important to make an informed decision. Let's start by understanding when you can start to turn on Social Security and the concept around this thing called full retirement age, or your FRA. So you can start Social Security at the earliest at age 62 and at the latest of age 70. Your FRA, or your full retirement age, is the age that you're eligible to receive your full Social Security benefits. It's typically between age 66 and 67. It's depending on the year you were born. But claiming benefits before or after this important age, your full retirement age, your FRA, can result in either a reduced monthly benefit or an increased monthly benefit of Social Security. And kind of a by the way, I get a question of how Social Security is calculated. And the simple answer, it's actually calculated on your highest 35 earning years. So your highest 35 of earning years, not capped at 35 years. If you work more than 35 years, you might just roll off some of your lower earning years. But that's always a question I get. So that part's kind of all easy to understand, the nuts and bolts of, you know, Social Security, when you can turn it on and how much you can get. But knowing when to claim Social Security and what the right age is for your personal situation, that's the hard question. Because if you claim early, for example, if you turn it on at age 62, it's going to seem tempting, but it comes with the big trade-off. You'll be receiving benefits sooner, but your monthly payments will be permanently reduced for the rest of your life. On the other hand, if you delay benefits, you know, further out beyond your full retirement age or to age 70, you're going to increase your monthly payments because they grow by 8% a year after that full retirement age up to age 70. So if I say that again, your benefits, your Social Security benefits grow by 8% a year every year after that full retirement age up to age 70. But you have to fund your retirement from your own assets if you do retire before then and before you reach that age 70. So let's just break this down a little bit more. I'm gonna give you some of my perspective and my experience on, you know, Social Security planning. Now, if you look around on the internet or if you talk to any Social Security planning specialist, they're all gonna say that you have to wait till age 70 because you will maximize your Social Security benefits that way. Even if you run any Social Security calculators, even in my financial planning software that we use, 99% of the time, it's going to spit out a report that says you must turn on Social Security at age 70. That's the optimal age. And it makes sense because that's where you're going to get the most money over your lifetime if you plug in a long lifetime, which we all want to have. However, in my real world planning experience, I don't think that should be seen as like the holy grail of Social Security planning. For some people, it's going to absolutely make sense, right? But for a lot of people, claiming Social Security early might be completely suitable for them. So my point is, I'm trying to break that assumption that age 70 is the best. It's definitely not for everybody. What does matter is, you know, personal financial situations. Health is huge. Longevity, how long do you, you know, you never know, but you can look at longevity of your family and your just long-term goals. So let me give you kind of 2 points on that real quick, then I'll kind of move on to the next one. But first, when I'm talking to clients on this, you know, claiming age, when they should claim their Social Security, I tend to see like a light bulb moment, or what I call, you know, a breakaway moment, when we discuss crossover points between claiming strategies. Another word for that is like break-even ages for when you claim. And so what this means is that there's an age when you would be coming out ahead by delaying your benefits. For example, I'll explain this. If you turn on Social Security at age 65 compared to 70, what we're looking at is what is that break-even age? Because if you turn it on at age 65, you're technically receiving 5 more years of payments than you would if you turn it on at age 70. So if you turn it on 70, you'd have to catch up, right? And that catch-up age, or that break-even age to where you'd earn more money over your lifetime, is a lot later in life than most people realize. It's a lot later. Now, I can't give you that exact age on this podcast because there's a bunch of different, you know, variations depending on the ages you compare. But my point is that crossover age is very relevant to your planning. And that kind of leads me to my second point. With that crossover age being later in life, you have to ask yourself, do you want more money from Social Security earlier in your retirement when you're younger, healthier, doing more things? Or do you want more money from Social Security later in life? Now, if you do want Social Security later, you know, turning it on towards, you know, later 70, even at the latest in retirement, you got to just be comfortable using your own assets or your own nest egg to fund your lifestyle until then, assuming you are retired. So it is a thinker. All right, moving on to our second must-know topic. This is around coordinating spousal benefits. Social Security planning for married couples just adds an extra layer of planning that needs to be done. So I'm going to really share 2 common scenarios I see to not complicate it too much. The first scenario I see is when spouses are of similar ages and even have similar earning history. If this is the case, then, you know, they're retiring at a similar time, let's say, then what might be good is offsetting when they each claim Social Security. It's going to probably make sense. And what I mean by this is that maybe one spouse turns on Social Security earlier and the other turns it on later. Pretty simple. But why this is good and such a good planning technique is that if a spouse, God forbid, passes away, the higher of the 2 Social Securities will continue to the other spouse. Now, the other common scenario is when maybe just one spouse has an earning history. So, you know, one spouse worked, maybe one was at home, and Social Security actually has a specific claiming strategy for this called spousal benefits. It's a terrible non-descriptive name, but that's what they call it. And what this strategy does is it allows one spouse to claim the benefit based on their other spouse's work history. Now, to qualify for spousal benefits, you generally need to be at least age 62, and your spouse must have already claimed their own benefits. Those are all things that you can talk about later, and we don't want to get too lost in the weeds, but the spousal benefit is typically going to be 50% of the higher earnings benefit. So let's kind of zoom out and talk about this scenario a little bit more. I'll give you an example to make it make sense. Let's consider the case of John and Sarah. Sarah has a higher earning history and is eligible for Social Security of $2,800 a month. John, on the other hand, has a lower earning history and is eligible for a benefit of $1,200 per month. If both John and Sarah were to claim the benefits at their full retirement age, they'd receive a combined benefit of $4,000. That's that $2,800 plus the $1,200. However, if they were to use this spousal benefits claiming strategy, they're going to potentially increase their benefits. So John, who's eligible for spousal benefits, he's going to file what's called a restricted application. What he's doing is he's choosing to claim the spousal benefits based on Sarah's earnings record, not his. And this is going to allow his own benefit to keep growing, which is amazing. And so John can receive spousal benefits up to 50% of Sarah's benefit. So again, he can receive up to 50% of Sarah's benefit, and that's going to give him $1,400 a month. Because if you remember, her full amount was $2,800. So $2,800 at 50% is $1,400. So that allows him to receive a higher benefit than his own $1,200 benefit per month. Meanwhile, in the background, his own Social Security benefit is going to continue to grow at that 8% a year until he reaches the maximum age 70. So I know it's a lot of moving parts, but at age 70, what would happen is John switches from the spousal benefit to his own benefit, which has grown to $1,584 because it was growing at 8% a year. Now, when you add those two benefits together, so Sarah's at $2,800 per month and John's increased benefit of the $1,584, they get a monthly benefit of $4,384. So long story short, it's an extra $384 per month than they would have had just claiming it the simple way at their full retirement ages each. So I know it's a long example, but it illustrates the importance of understanding just spousal benefits when you're doing and exploring Social Security planning. Our final must-know topic for Social Security planning focuses really on managing taxes of Social Security. I get the question all the time as well, is Social Security taxed? It's a very good question. And the answer is, it depends. Social Security is taxed at the federal level. It's subject to federal tax if you meet certain thresholds. And only some states tax Social Security. So for example, I do a lot of work in Montana. Montana does tax Social Security, but my main practice is here in Wisconsin. They do not tax Social Security, so that's great. But to determine this, the IRS uses a concept called provisional income. This just includes, you know, your Social Security and all other sources of income. So we'll dive deeper into that in a separate episode on taxation in retirement because it is its own beast. But for today, just know that basically the more you earn outside of Social Security, the more your Social Security can be possibly taxed. It's a sliding scale. So the more income outside of Social Security, the more your Social Security can be taxed. And it can be taxed up to 85%. And so it doesn't mean that Social Security is going to be taxed, you know, at a rate of 85%. It means that up to 85% of the amount of Social Security you receive can be included in your taxable income at the end of the year. So I'll leave you with a little nugget on taxation, which is kind of the biggest thing I see that can hurt somebody when they're starting to, you know, earlier in their retirement and Social Security planning. And what that is if somebody is under the age of full retirement age, so think of, you know, 62 to 65 maybe, they're eligible to receive Social Security, but they're still working at their normal job. If they take both their Social Security and their working, the government will really penalize you here. So it's just one thing to really note. They'll really tax that Social Security at a high, high rate. So you usually don't want to do that. But all in all, proper tax planning can, you know, help minimize the impact of taxes on your benefits. You know, tax-efficient withdrawal planning, tax-advantaged tax deductions and credits, they're going to all optimize your taxation liabilities. All right, as a recap, there is three must-know topics when talking about Social Security planning that I really see. And the first one is, what is your optimal claiming age? When should you turn on Social Security? And as I was saying, most people, most advisors, most online calculators will tell you that it's age 70, and I am trying to buck that trend and say that's not always the case. You really have to look into your personal situation, especially around things with health and longevity and obviously your financial goals. That's going to help determine what is the best age for you, and it possibly will be under the age of 70. The second thing is around spousal benefits. They're extremely important because it just adds an extra layer of planning for Social Security. And the third one is taxation. Taxation is everybody's favorite thing, right? And Social Security is very complex in taxation. So if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me or your own financial professional or tax advisor on those types of things and really try to develop a personalized Social Security strategy. So with that, I'll leave you. And until next time, be well. High Point Capital Group is located at 1200 North Mayfair Road, Suite 300, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53226. Phone number 414-253-4600. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Osaic Wealth, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Osaic Wealth is separately owned in other entities and/or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Osaic Wealth. Views expressed here should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities or services mentioned here. Investing is subject to risks, including loss of principal. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Indexes are unmanaged and investors are not able to invest directly into any index. Sector investing may involve a greater degree of risk than investments with broader diversification. However, there is no guarantee that a diversified portfolio alone will outperform a non-diversified portfolio in any given market environment. No investment strategy, such as asset allocation, can guarantee a profit or protect against loss in periods of declining values. Please note that individual situations can vary. Therefore, information should only be relied upon and coordinated with individual professional advice. Ryan Hitchcock believes the information presented here is accurate and was obtained from sources that are believed to be reliable. However, Ryan does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of any information, and such information may be subject to change without notice from Ryan. Statements expressed by guests on this podcast are the views of those guests only and not of Ryan Hitchcock. Statements contained in this podcast may be statements of future expectations and other forward-looking statements that are based on Ryan Hitchcock's or guests' current views and assumptions and involve known and/or unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statements.